Okay, you don't know what I studied.
No, I don't. So, we can try the guessing game that I always put you through.
I like the guessing game. When's the last time you saw Coraline?
I think I've only seen Coraline once, and it was
Oh.
probably like 8 years ago.
Okay, in that case, this probably won't be helpful. How about when's the last time you saw a Spider-Man?
Probably about 1 year and 4 months ago when I saw the re-release of Spider-Man No Way Home.
What about Harry Potter?
It's probably been even longer.
What's something
I
that
don't
all these
watch
movies have?
I don't watch mainstream movies anymore.
You're like, I only watch interesting documentaries such as Cane Totes.
Unnatural History.
It's so good, right? Ugh.
Yeah, I loved it. And okay, do they all have bugs in them?
Kind of a specific theme or like a flavor of bugs, some might say.
Spiders?
It's
Your really obscure clue for we're talking about spiders was Spider-Man?
I couldn't think of anything else. I was drawing an absolute. I guess I could have said Lord of the Rings, but. Would you have gotten there?
That might have gotten me there. Yeah.
We'll
I don't
never
know.
know.
Is there a spider in James and the Giant Peach?
Yes.
I think if you'd
She's a
said,
Black Widow.
oh,
Ooh.
so she's kind of a sexy spider.
Exactly. That's, it's interesting how we do that, isn't it?
To specifically Black Widows, too, because widows
Just
are
Black
not
Widows.
a traditionally sexy,
No.
like, trope, but Black
No.
Widows.
You don't read. That sounds like you're being racist.
Oh gosh.
No, I know what you mean, though. It's not like you read the Bible and it's like, oh, the widows might, and you're like, ooh la la. Like,
Yeah. No, it takes
it's so
like
weird.
yeah, I don't know what it is about it.
It's the femme fatale nature of Black Widows, which, fun fact, Black Widows in the wild tend to not eat their males. It's really only in captivity that we see that behavior.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so it's
That's
a bit of a misnomer.
oh. They get a
Yeah.
bad rap for something that's not even their fault. Just
Exactly.
like lemmings.
Just like lemmings. Okay, so to research for this, number one, I have a master's degree in biology, which helps because it was definitely like every time I research something biological, I'm like, oh, why don't I do this all the time? This is so much easier. Number two, we watched on YouTube, there was a Nat Geo, I'll have them linked, a Nat Geo and a oh, what's the other one? Oh, Smithsonian. Nat Geo and Smithsonian documentaries, air quotes, about spiders. And both of them were the most fear-mongering, like BS. And they said things that are categorically untrue
Oh
that
my.
I like. As they were saying them, I was like, I don't think that's right. And I'd look it up and I'd be like, that's not accurate.
Did
Like,
they have a lot of views?
yeah. And a lot of the comments are people being like, why is this so weirdly like mean towards spiders?
They'll do anything for clicks.
Apparently, and it's
Like
like,
literally anything. They'll throw a bug under the bus.
yeah, I know. Poor widow babies. But do you have any spider questions?
I am curious. When people call spiders bugs, do you like shiver a little bit? Like,
I have to decide how annoying I'm going to be in that particular moment. Like it's two paths open ahead of me, and one path is technically correct, but like shut up, Tegan. And the other path is, I mean, like, sure.
How's this for a question? Are spiders bugs?
Sorta.
Can you be more specific?
Yes, I can. Hello, and welcome to Be More Specific, a podcast where an entomologist, me, and a film student
Me?
walk into a podcast and walk out covered in spiders. I'm
Oh,
Tegan.
I'm Becca.
They're our friends, so you don't need to be worried.
I guess.
Have you ever handled like a tarantula, like at a zoo or anything?
Rosie.
Oh, good, good.
The one and only Rosie that only the Denver Butterfly Pavilion owns.
Do you know how many Rosies? I think, was I the one who broke this news to you? I remember having this conversation.
Yes.
Becca was like, I held Rosie. Rosie's really famous. And I was like, oh, yeah, they have like 50 Rosies. Like, they're all assigned numbers within zookeeping. And you just, for the public, usually will like have a cute name. And Becca was like, wait. What do you mean? And what I felt so bad.
But it was Rosie.
It was Rosie.
Are there Rosies at multiple zoos?
Oh, definitely.
Like they're all named Rosie?
It's just kind of, it's like naming, I'm trying to think of a similar one. It's like naming a snake Noodle. Naming a Chilean rose hair or a Rosie Need tarantula. Naming them, it's like.
It's just not a far stretch. It's just like
there's also
the first thing that you would think of when you think of a name for a spider. Okay.
There's a species of tarantula called the pink-footed tarantula. They're very, very cute. And everyone always names them Dorothy because they look like they're wearing little red slippers.
Oh, that's cute. So it's not like a conspiracy that they're all named.
No, no, it's branding.
Okay. Okay.
It's just like, oh, look.
I remember when I was in, I think, third grade, we went to the Denver Butterfly Pavilion for a field trip, and it was really exciting, and all the other girls were too scared to touch Rosie, but I did, and that's good my job. Story.
And now I'm here, in film school.
Yeah, I, that would be an origin story if I were not a film student. If I were a scientist, maybe.
Make a good documentary about spiders, because apparently there's a need. Uh-huh. And then you could be like, well, this is how it all started. I'm not like other girls.
On the really wide press circuit for that would inevitably ensue from a documentary about spiders.
Exactly.
Variety's going to be pounding down my door.
Variety... New York Times, everyone.
GQ, Wired.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm. Exactly. Hugh Jackman. He's he's his own.
Uh-huh. He founded his own magazine after the divorce.
Oh, goodness.
Anyway.
Okay, so you asked, are spiders bugs?
Mm-hmm.
And I think, so one way you could look at the word bug is just that it's referring to all arthropods.
Mm-hmm.
But spiders, centipedes, insects, and trilobites are all considered arthropods.
Mm-hmm.
And then inside arthropods, you have what I normally talk about and think about and breathe and all that are insects, right? Insecta. And there's a type of bug called the true bug that's like... So if I wanted to be pedantic, that's what I would have been like, no. But also within arthropods, separate from insects, are arachnids.
Yeah.
That's our focus.
I think a lot of people recognize that spiders are arachnids. Are there arachnids that are not spiders?
Yeah. So harvestmen aren't spiders. So true spiders are the Araneae. Araneae, it's the largest order within arachnids. So you know how I study flies?
Mm-hmm.
Flies are an order of insects in the same way that spiders are an order of arachnids.
Oh, okay.
Just to get an idea of like scale.
Mm-hmm.
Tailless whip scorpions are also arachnids and they're super cute. I'm going to have lots of spider pics posted. Lots of arachnid pics with me and my arachnid buddies.
You're acting like that's a teaser and not a trigger warning.
I'll put a trigger warning. But we'll talk about that too. Mm. Something that's cool about spiders is they're found everywhere on Earth except for Antarctica.
Oh. Why?
Yeah. They've really, like biologically, they do a lot. And so they're kind of everywhere. There's an estimated 51,000 species of spiders currently.
Oh my gosh. Are those all like okay. Are those all like have been discovered already and given names, or?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So the true diversity is unknown, because as you're aware, we know this much. I'm holding up tiny finger, tiny little portion of how much like actual taxonomic diversity there is, especially in like the tropics. We have zero idea what's going on there.
Oh, yeah.
And spiders are kind of understudied. I almost worked on spiders for my master's. And I'm glad I worked on flies, because I like them more for whatever reason.
Do you think that you would have learned to like spiders more?
Maybe, but spiders are really isolating, because you're not quite an entomologist, but there's not enough spider people to like have a community in the same way.
Interesting. That surprises me, because I feel like spiders are the first thing that occur to people when they think of like bug.
Well, beetle. Everyone goes beetle.
I guess so.
Ladybug.
But like spiders.
It's a ladybug every time.
Spiders are overrepresented in the media, if we're going to get all Becca about this. So like.
Oh, definitely.
It's surprising that they're underrepresented in the sciences.
Yes. No, there's lots of like interesting things you can play with like fear and how that affects what we study. I think for some people, I don't know. I worked with black widows for so long that they don't freak me out. But I went to the Entomological Society of America, had an arachnid like portion. Mm-hmm. And I went to it because there was a bunch of cool behavioral stuff. And so many people were like, oh, I really want to study spiders, but I'm too nervous. Like even people who study insects were like, I'm just too nervous. And I was like, did I used to be like this, or have I just been desensitized, or like what happened?
What happened? Yeah, I don't know. I don't think I've ever been like particularly afraid of spiders.
No, I don't think I have either. I remember as a kid, like watching spiders in the backyard. Mm-hmm. And I was also inundated with David Attenborough as a child, which I'm sure helped.
There was one time when I was living in the basement in my Orem house, and I was like, I got an itch, and so I like reached down. I was like in my bed, and I felt something creepy crawly. And then I like scrambled out of bed, and I like, you know, flipped out my sheets and everything, and there was just like a big old spider.
Do you know what kind?
I don't know, but there were a lot of spiders in that basement, and that was not ideal. I definitely started using.
No.
We started like spraying spider spray or whatever to try to ward them away, because spiders are fine, but I don't want them to be in my bed.
No, that's fair.
Yeah.
I've heard, I don't know, so I couldn't find any sources for this, but a common like thing people say is if you don't like spiders, get a pet tarantula, because the tarantula's like presence makes it so there's less spiders overall in your home.
Is that true?
I couldn't find pheromones
anything? Or something?
That's what I was like. I mean, they're kind of far away, like evolutionarily from like most spiders you get in your house. But I get bit by the little yellow sack spiders quite often, because they're always under things.
Yeah.
And they're annoying. I understand the desire to not have them in your home.
Yeah. Well, it's also, isn't it sometimes nice to have spiders in your home because they eat other bugs?
Oh, definitely. Especially if you have like plants and stuff.
Okay.
Having, so not true spiders, but having like harvestmen, so daddy long legs in your house, can really cut down, like I've noticed at least, like fungus gnats. Because they eat them. They're so helpful.
What makes a daddy long legs, which I feel like, you know, like the iconic spiders are tarantula, black widow, and daddy long leg. Why is that third one not a true spider?
So they're an arachnid, but not a true spider, because they only have one fused central body part, whereas true spiders have, you know, think of a tarantula. They have like a head part and a butt, right?
Mm-hmm.
The cephalothorax and the abdomen, whereas daddy long legs or harvestmen have their scientific name is Opilionis, which is fancy, but it's literally just like one. They're just like one ball with legs.
They are circle.
They're soot sprites. They're little babies.
Yeah.
And so harvestmen also are often detritivores. Like they'll eat meat, but they'll also eat like, we used to give ours like at the biosphere, we had a little colony and I would give them zucchini and they'll eat it. but there is only one true herbivorous true spider, which is crazy. They're called Bagheria kiplingi, and they're tiny little jumping spiders that eat these like protein and fat nubs called Belchian bodies that are on a type of acacia plant. So it's this weird like symbiotic relationship with just this plant. Usually the plant, acacia plants, have these nubs for ants, but these spiders just avoid the ants and just eat the nubs.
They're just dodging, just sneaking up in there.
Yeah, we don't know how they digest it, but isotope analysis shows that this is what they eat most of the time.
That's cool. Maybe those are my favorite.
Yeah, they're super.
I don't know.
That would be such a deep cut. People are like, I like orb spiders. I like, you know, jumping spiders. And you're like, I like Bagheria kiplingi.
The vegetarians.
Yeah. But pretty much all other true spiders are predators. It is estimated that the world's 25 million tons of spiders, which is a crazy way.
That's so.
To measure.
That's so crazy. We need to get Spiders Gay Organ here. Get those numbers down.
Spiders Gay Organ, get in here. But it's estimated that they eat 400 to 800 million tons of prey per year.
Whoa, that's more than the tons that they are.
They are widow predators.
They love to eat. They love to feast.
They're hungry. That's whenever I see spiders, like especially, so my pet, I have a pet tarantula named Teddy. But him and then just any spiders I see, I'm always like, oh, it's starving. Like spiders just look so hungry. I think it's their big eyes. Yeah. If you ever see a spider, I want to plug iNaturalist, as is my duty. But like, dear listener or dear Becca, if you ever see a spider and you're like, hey, what kind of spider is that? Take a picture. Try to get the eyes, because that's what scientists use to get general identifications of spiders, is how the eyes are arranged. And then you can post it on this app called iNaturalist, and nerds like me will identify it. And I actually use iNaturalist, like, in my research. So it's a cool, like, you know,
it's good for everything. Outsourced, it's good for fungus, science. It's good for plants.
It's good for fungus.
So we've had a good little conversation about spiders.
Yeah.
I don't know what to ask next.
Do you have any questions?
you don't have like a dossier?
I do have a dossier, but so I ran into this while researching. I know too much about spiders.
Yeah.
I am inundated with spider knowledge, which makes it so I have a propensity to info dump.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to ask questions.
Yeah, and direct it that way. Because I feel like when I research, I'm always railroading you. I'm like, okay, we're done talking about that part now. It's time to talk about this part. So I was expecting.
See, and I could.
You to do that to me.
Because my next part, I'm like, so we talked about eyes for identification. What do spiders use their eyes for? Which is a bizarre way.
I think that's a really normal segue, actually.
Oh, thank you. Oh, good.
And now I'm
normal and good.
And now I'm curious what spiders use their eyes for. So
spiders, a lot of spiders can't see much. Like tarantulas, for example, are basically blind. Like they're so, that's why they're always like tapping.
Oh,
I know. Some spiders, though, specifically jumping spiders, flower spiders, wolf spiders, and, hold for applause, net casting spiders see pretty well because they have to. Okay. The net casting spider is the coolest thing ever. It essentially descends on like a long web, right? Like a single strand.
Mm-hmm.
It makes this web and it holds it with its little legs, has these huge front-facing eyes. They look like goblins. They're crazy looking. And they wait for a bug to walk underneath them, and then they throw their wet web over it like a net.
Whoa.
Like they're a fisher.
And it works?
And it works. They're so cool.
That's crazy.
But they have to see good, obviously.
Sure.
So that they can throw their net. Jumping spiders do a bunch of complicated, like, mating rituals, right?
Mm-hmm.
Flower spiders sit on flowers and they will basically, they sit on the flower and try to blend in. And then whatever flies towards the flower, whether it be a bee or a wasp or a fly, they'll eat. And they're just, they're so weird looking. I love them. Some people call them crab spiders. You've probably seen them before.
Mm-hmm.
They're usually like light green.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Okay, so I have a question.
Yeah.
Can anything that we've seen Spider-Man do in a movie, is that something spiders can do? Like, do they, first of all, is Spidey sense a thing that spiders have?
So I would consider Spidey sense to be an interpretation of the fact that spiders are really sensitive to vibration.
Okay.
Right? I mean, especially within Spider-Verse, I'm thinking of how they show it with the, like, tingles.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is an activity I would always do with kids when I worked at the biosphere, is if you take your arm, and your arm has hair on it, right?
Yeah.
And you, like, barely touch above your arm, sometimes you can sense that your hand is there because the air pressure has changed and your hairs sense it. Spiders are covered in hair.
Oh, yeah.
And so they can sense, just like flies. That's why you can't like smack a fly on a table because they sense the cavitation from your hand, like the air pressure changing.
Mm-hmm.
They sense it and they move. Yeah.
Yeah. That's so, like,
I think that's what a spidey sense.
That's one of the first things I feel like I learned from you about flies. And you would think that would prevent me from trying to capture flies in the typical way. And literally every time I try to swat a fly, I go like, I know that they can sense the air pressure, but maybe if I do it better this time, it'll work. Like every
that's
single
so
time.
Funny.
I'm cursed with this knowledge.
That's your... You're trying to become a superhero. Like, maybe this time I'll break the laws.
If I just do it good enough, slow enough.
Then I'll be fine.
Sly enough. Yeah. Maybe I can overcome their evolutionary instincts.
Their evolutionary advantage.
Yeah.
My dad used to take rags and, like, you know how people do this? You, like, take the rag and you wind it and you can, like, whip things with it?
Mm-hmm.
He would do that to flies.
Whoa.
Like in air.
Like Mr. Miyagi.
I know. And one time he claims, I did not see this, he claims he turned one inside out.
That didn't happen, Michael. I'm sorry.
Sorry, Dan.
If you didn't take a picture.
You're right.
And you know he would have.
Pixar didn't happen.
If it actually happened.
Untrustworthy Pop-Tarts.
Okay, so let's think of other things that Spider-Man can do. Can swing from skyscrapers using web. Do spiders ever swing?
Ooh. I mean, okay, so the net casting one, like, sort of does. But, like, they don't really swing because they don't have a way to push off.
Hmm.
And, like, retain momentum.
I mean, they have eight legs, so.
Jumping spiders will cast a, before they jump, they make, like, a little safety line. If you've ever seen a jumping spider jump and then, like, pull itself back up, it is the funniest thing because it's, like, they're, you know, they're these little predators. It's on the edge. It's like a little tiger about to hunt. It jumps and it's, like, I missed. And it, like, slowly will pull itself back up. It's so funny. So I think that's probably the closest.
Yeah.
I feel like jumping spiders are probably the closest to Spider-Man.
Okay. Can spiders crawl? Well, okay. I guess we know that spiders can crawl up walls. But is it because they have, like, mm-hmm. tiny little spikes on their legs? Because you know how some versions of Spider-Man have, like, tiny little hooks on their finger pads?
Yeah, that's basically it. It's kind of similar to, that's why geckos can scale walls too.
Mm-hmm.
Although geckos, it gets more complicated because they're at the, like, molecular level.
Okay.
That's why geckos can climb up glass.
Okay, gecko episode, I guess.
See, this is why I'm like every day I research for the podcast, I go, why don't I just talk about animals to Becca and that's it forever?
I don't know. You could. That would be fine. Nobody would complain.
But then I'm like, what about nail polish?
I feel
like I have other interests.
That's the thing. I don't want to box myself in, and we didn't want to box each other in. That was like the point of, because I could just talk at you about movies, but like that's not very satisfying.
And also,
either.
To be fair, if I talk at you about animals and you talk at me about movies, that's just what our hangouts are like.
That's true. We have to separate somehow.
We have to be able to delineate.
So we have to talk at each other about things we're slightly less interested in for the podcast.
Exactly.
No, the podcast
for
makes
the
me.
Podcast.
These are things I would be looking up anyway. Like, these are things.
Exactly.
That I would probably eventually
this
tell you.
This is not extra.
It's just like structured time. It's like play dates.
It's structured. It is. It's adult. A podcast is just adult play date.
I think, yes, literally.
Yeah, 100%. Settled.
Okay.
Question for you, movie girl.
Ouch.
Does Spider-Man ever go underwater? I'm trying to think.
That seems more of like a nerd girl thing than a movie girl. You know, you asked me a question about Jean-Luc Godard, I gotcha. But like about the French New Wave, I'm all in. But like Spider-Man, I don't know. I don't remember him going in the water. What do spiders do in the water? Can they be in the water? Can spiders swim? Can they float above water like snakes can?
Do you want to keep spiraling about spiders in the water?
I want you to answer my questions.
Okay, so spiders, most spiders are land, right?
Sure.
So don't worry. However, the diving bell spider is a species that's native to freshwater habitats in Europe and Asia, and they spend almost their entire life underwater. They basically, so they have a bunch of hydrophobic hairs on their abdomen and legs, and they gather bubbles on themselves. And then they return to its house, which is a diving bell. So have you ever heard of a diving bell before?
So there's this movie called the Diving Bell and the Butterfly.
Aww.
It's not about either of those things. It's about a paralyzed man, but that's the only time.
Do they talk about?
I haven't seen it. I just, it's
amazing.
It's one of my friend's favorite movies because I guess he like loses his vision and like the movie, the cinematography is like mimicking his experience.
Oh, cool.
And it's like cool, I guess. But I don't actually know what a diving bell is. That's never occurred to me to ask what that means.
So diving bells used to be used, and still kind of are, used to reach like really deep depths underwater, like pre scuba diving.
Oh.
And so you'd have, it's like, okay, you know, when this is just movies and bugs, you know, in Pirates of the Caribbean where they take the canoe or the like underwater,
mm-hmm.
and they're walking underwater with the bubble,
yeah,
of air. So that's what a diving bell is, essentially.
How long?
It's this like structure that just holds air.
How long would that last a person?
Depends on how fast you're breathing. How much air is there, you know?
Sure.
But what's cool about spiders
is that they've seen
specifically
Pirates of the Caribbean. And they took notes.
Exactly. So they make their diving bells out of their own silk. And this protein-based hydrogel that we don't understand yet, which is fun. But the silk is hydrophobic. But at the same time, it allows for diffusion of oxygen into the bell and CO2 to come out.
Oh, so they can breathe.
So they refill it. Yeah, they refill it occasionally with the air that's on their body. But they will, like, it also passively diffuses CO2 and intakes oxygen.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
So is that like...
So they're air breathing
so
underwater.
If we could figure that out, we would be able to breathe underwater.
I don't
If we could mimic that body process.
It might, I mean, it's a protein-based hydrogel is how it's described.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, this is another plug for like, don't let things go extinct. Who knows? We could be living underwater in spider bells.
That would be crazy, and it makes me want to make a movie about spider people who do that.
It'd be so cute.
Doesn't have to be a movie. The females? A short story, maybe. I don't know. That's just really cool.
I think.
Concept art, even.
Spiders. Spiders are good for, I think, like, animation.
Yeah.
I feel like they're underutilized. They have legs. They have so many.
I don't know if they're underutilized.
Well, I mean, like, people like spiders. In, like, a cute way.
Oh.
But so often they're, like, it's the scary thing coming at you.
That's true.
You know?
That's true. They don't have to be scary. Or sexy. Those are the two things spiders can be, but they can be more.
I'm a feminist, but just for spiders.
Yeah, okay. This is what intersectionality means.
It means you stand up for spiders.
Spider representation. Gosh.
But, okay, so on land, and the diving bell spiders, but in general, spiders breathe air, right? They have what is called a book lung. They're not related to our lungs. It's basically a bunch of air pockets and tissue that look like a folded book. You can see them on the underside of tarantulas. They're thought to have evolved from book gills, which are present among marine chelicerates, which is where you get the, like, sea spiders and stuff that aren't actually spiders. They just
sort of look like
a similar body plan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, only way creepier, in my opinion. Hot take.
Well, you don't like things that are underwater as much. It freaks you out. Mm-mm. You have thalassophobia or whatever.
Yeah, I don't like wet bugs. I like dry bugs.
Yeah. Well, there's some things
except for rivers.
That belong.
Rivers are safe.
I just feel like there are things that belong on land and there are things that belong in the water. And when spiders go on the water, it's disturbing. I mean,
there are. Okay, so you know how some. Let me finish book lungs and then I have a thought about spiders.
I do want to hear about book on lungs. Water. Book lungs. There's something there. Every new thing that you tell me about spiders, okay. I go, why isn't everybody talking about this all the time?
Exactly. That's how I feel, like, whenever I do research, specifically about, like, spiders and robber flies and, like, all these, like, cool predators, I'm like, why do we talk about tigers ever? No offense to tigers,
because,
but, like...
Well, they're cute.
They are kind of cute. True spiders, so they have these book lungs, right? And the folds essentially maximize surface area, which makes it so gas exchange can happen passively within the book lung. So it's like if your lungs were outside of your body and just passively exchanged oxygen and CO2.
Do our lungs not already passively exchange those things? They actively do it?
They do, but we have to pull with our diaphragm to inflate and deflate them.
Mm.
And so although the diffusion is passive, the action of, like, getting the blood is not.
So it's...
Does that make sense?
It's easier for these spiders to breathe.
Yeah, they don't get, like, winded.
Okay.
Like, bugs... So... So, bugs. Spiders and bugs also have trachea, which is... So in insects, they just have trachea. Whereas in spiders, you have the book lung and the trachea, and that's why it's hypothesized that spiders can get so much bigger. Like, if you think of, like, the Goliath bird-eating tarantula, right? It's, like, dinner plate-sized.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that is because it can exchange more oxygen, whereas insects just have the trachea, which are, like, tiny holes in the body that then branch into, like, different parts of the inside of the insect, and that's where they do gas exchange. And so it's limited by surface area, as all things are.
Sure. Uh-huh.
It's, like, one of my jokes with my, I teach a introductory biology course. One of my jokes is, like, if something asks why something looks the way it is, if you say surface area, like, 90% of the time you will be correct.
Just trying to make use of what little there is.
Exactly. But yeah, so they're exchanging oxygen. They're getting super cool. This diving bell spider is still breathing air, but underwater. And I think that's neat. But some spiders, I'm sure you've seen, we've been together. We've been together for a while. We've gone on hikes.
Oh, yes. Uh-huh.
You know, have you ever seen where there's, like, the spiders that will walk on the surface of the water?
Mm-hmm.
So those are generally wolf spiders or grass spiders, oh, okay. Or they're called.
Yeah.
But they walk on the water by having lots of little hairs on their feet.
Mm-hmm.
And so it just dissipates surface tension. So they're able to like walk on the surface tension of the water.
Is that how you think Jesus did it?
Yeah, lots of hair.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I
biblically
wish I could
accurate
draw.
Jesus.
Oh, my goodness. I really wish I could draw good. Oh, that would be so funny.
Somebody's probably done it, right?
I don't know.
Did I just have an original idea? The two of us together?
Quick, copyright it.
I don't know how to do that.
Actually, trademark it. I've heard trademarks last longer.
Is that true?
Yeah, because copyright only lasts as long as you are utilizing the initial work, whereas trademark is forever until the death of the author.
Oh. You know, in my mind, that could be an interesting episode, but I think it could very easily get a little too technical.
No, I think it could be super interesting because I just watched like a series of YouTube videos, like 2 hours long about copyright law.
Oh, okay. Great then. Also, did you watch the H-Bomber Guy plagiarism video?
Okay, did you watch it and then have a little panic and then realize that we don't do anything important and so it doesn't matter? And also, I don't think either of us plagiarize because we're not together enough to quote things.
Yeah, I mean, I had all of that, but I was definitely, well, he was like talking about people just reading from a Wikipedia page and like claiming it as their own. And I was like, is that what I do? I think I synthesize information. I think I do.
I had that worry. And then I was like, how many times have you and I been like, saw this thing on Wikipedia, seemed weird, looked it up, not true.
That's true. We cite our sources, we check our sources, we have our own opinions. That was the thing. I was thinking, because I watched it right after the Rodeos episode, which is, like, heavily influenced by Wikipedia, because that was, like, where...
Yeah.
Also, there's Wikipedia, and then there's the crunchiest rodeo websites you've ever seen in your life.
They're all, like, HTML.
Yeah, like, it's, like, from local, like, Patterson, Missouri, local council. Amazing. Rodeo town 50th anniversary history of rodeos. And I was like, okay.
I hate when you have like there's something I want to know about and then I look it up and I'm like, oh, no one else cares.
Yeah, which happens frequently because I guess I care about like
odd
obscure things, and then I realized how much commentary I was making and how much of my own knowledge I was drawing upon for the episode, and I felt a little better. But I think it's good for us to go through an existential crisis roughly every 6 months. Like, it's good for the podcast.
It's good for ultimately, I don't care what it does to my mental health if it's good for the pod.
Well, also, it's good to reevaluate your status as an artist, dare I say.
Yes.
Because what we're making here today, what we're making here today, like, is it art? I don't know. But is it a thing that we made? Yes.
Is it art? I don't know. But like, wink. Is it art? Wink.
It's a thing that we made that we put effort into making.
Sometimes I forget how much effort it takes because, like, you know, there's like periods of time where I'm not editing or researching, and then I do one of those things and I'm like, whoa, I guess I do have passions.
Right. I forget that this exists, and then somebody's like, what hobbies do you have? And I go, well, there's this thing that I've actually been doing for 3 years now that I tell no one about.
For free.
And hope no
actually,
one...
not even for free. We pay.
Hope no one engages with. Yeah, no, this costs us some money.
This costs us, like, a non-insubstantial amount of money.
I think, and the crazy thing
is... Not counting time.
I think if we invested more in it, I think we could do something. I think we could be really great. But then
the HB Bomber Guy video comes out and I'm like, maybe I don't want anyone ever to notice me.
Yeah.
But if we stopped, there would be like 6 people who would be quite upset.
That's true.
And I like those six people.
A lot. I do like them.
That's like, it's not parasocial if I've met every single person who listens to this podcast.
It's like a newsletter.
Oh my gosh. It's just Tegan and Becca's hyperfixations of the month.
Yeah. It's like a Substack.
Amazing.
And it's their chance to check in and be like, oh, they're still friends. Good to know.
Yeah. Oh, thank goodness. Your favorite celebrity couple.
Oh, gosh.
Platonic, in parentheses.
Okay. Anyway, that was our tangent, I guess, for the episode.
No, that's good.
I wonder,
are
there any good YouTube channels about spiders?
So there are some good, like, jumping spider, like, people who raise jumping spiders will make lots of good videos. There's a bunch of them on TikTok and Instagram Reels, of course. And I'm sure they're on YouTube Reels, because why wouldn't they be? Mm-hmm. Or Shorts, or whatever they call them.
What do you have against YouTube Shorts?
I hate that the YouTube app opens to YouTube Shorts.
Oh, does it?
It makes me irate. Every time it happens, I'm like, why do I even use this app? And then I go back to watching, you know, a 2-hour-long video about trans individuals in daytime television. And I'm like, sick.
It's all worth it.
Yeah.
Are you still watching Doctor Who, by the way? Are you still on that grind?
Yes. We're still on that grind. We're currently in the part where Desert turned to me and said, did it used to be better? And I was like, yeah.
Which doctor are you on?
We're at near the end of Capaldi.
Yeah.
And we're, you know, the point with Clara where you're like, stop.
Yeah.
That's where we're at.
Yeah. That's where I stopped watching.
Like, sit down. I want to see Jodie Whittaker. I've seen some people be like, I don't know, she's not that bad. And other people are like, it's the worst thing that's ever happened. And so I want to see for myself.
Well, I'm really excited for Nikuti Gatwa. Like, I want to.
Yes, 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 yes. Yes, yes,
but
yes, 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 yes.
There's just, you got to get through, what, like 4 seasons?
I don't think.
4 more seasons, something crazy.
I don't think. So Desert and I's plan is we're going to watch all of the plot important episodes as outlined by the fan Wikipedia.
Oh, yeah.
If it gets too bad, and then skip to the new episode.
Oh, okay. That seems wise. Cool. Well,
which, this is something, this is pertinent. The amount of spiders in Doctor Who.
Are there a lot of?
Actually insane.
There's a lot
there
of.
There are so many spiders.
In, like, the Victorian episodes, there's always spiders.
And the Wasp episode, where it's, like, Victorian England, but there's, like, inexplicably a giant wasp, like, human size.
Is that the Agatha Christie episode?
Mm-hmm. They're like, it's a closed
room
murder.
So it's post-Victorian.
It's
not Victorian England, but, like, a lot of the England episodes have, like, bug stuff going on.
They do. Well, was it, like, if the lizard lady's there, they're like, oh, gotta be bugs.
Isn't the library episode bugs?
They're tiny bugs. The Vashti Narada.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
This is going to become a Doctor Who podcast if we're not careful.
I mean, it's too late for that. Well, that's also the thing about Doctor Who. Our podcast is about everything in the world, right?
That's true.
I think so is Doctor Who.
I feel like Doctor Who did the really intelligent thing of, oh, our conceit will be so loose.
Yeah.
Has to never limit us.
Yep.
And then they made the Timeless Child. Whoop.
Yeah, that's the thing. They keep boxing themselves in. And then whenever they try to unbox themselves, I get so tired.
Same. Yes.
Anyway.
Shout out to River. Anyway.
We had our YouTube corner. We had our Doctor Who corner. We can get to spiders. What were we talking about? Spiders.
Spiders. So, there's something I thought for sure you would be like, oh, like, how scared should I be?
Oh, I'm not scared at all. They're just spiders.
I know. You're stronger. You're just stronger than 90% of the population, apparently.
Better, even.
But I have a decent section about this.
Oh, okay. How?
So are there any particular spiders that you get nervous about? Or that you've...
I mean, I've heard things about, what is it, brown recluses?
Yeah.
I've heard bad things about those. Like, if those are in your house, you should make them be not in your house.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, when I see a spider, I'll normally, like, put them outside, maybe. But a lot of the time, I won't even bother to do that. Like, if they're within a foot of me, I go, eh, maybe not right now, bro, or sis.
Yeah.
But, like, if they're just hanging out in the corner, that's their hangout. Sorry,
there's a non-binary spider right now, like, so sad.
Frowning. Yeah, I kind of just let them do their thing. Yeah, coexist.
And especially within the part of the world that you live in Utah, your only real concern would be black widows. But black widows tend to not want to be, like, inside. They like garages and stuff. And I feel like with your current situation, you are not. You don't even have access to a garage. So
no, in my current situation, in my current apartment, I wouldn't low-key not be surprised if I found a brown recluse, though. The roof keeps leaking. Brown recluses. There's just, like, there's ants around.
Oh, that's... I had an apartment in Provo where one day a praying mantis, like, walked in. And I found a hole in the wall that was big enough for a praying mantis to just...
sidle on
walk
him.
Right on in.
Yeah.
It was a praying mantis-sized door in my wall. It was crazy.
That is crazy. Who did that praying mantis have to pay off?
I know. Well, we adopted her. Her name was Rose. And we would give her... We would catch other bugs and feed her. She was so lovely.
How long did she live?
So mantises will live for like a year.
So you had her for like a year?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And then in the winter, she lasted like 2 months into winter inside, but then she was just at the end. She had an egg case that she couldn't get out all the way. That's usually what ends up killing them. Mm. Anyway.
As a child, I desperately tried to have pet ladybugs many times, and they always got away, which...
Good. I was going to say, the alternative is them starving, because I doubt you were collecting aphids for them.
No. No, they just ran away, and I'd go, no, don't run away, and then I'd put like a little... I'd put my hands around them, and I'd try to put them in a dollhouse, but dollhouses are not airtight, so...
No.
So which is good.
Have you seen, there's a meme that's one of those light up keyboards, like a gaming keyboard, and there's a ladybug on it, and it's like, I want to know what kind of cyberpunk Blade Runner-esque experience this ladybug is having right now.
That's awesome.
If only that could be me. But you mentioned brown recluses. Brown recluses only live from, they have a very specific range, from southeastern Nebraska through southern Iowa, Illinois, and Indiana to southwestern Ohio, and then in the southern states from central Texas to western Georgia and north to Kentucky. Like, they really do not, like, people who are like, brown recluses are in California are wrong. Period.
Why?
Like, they can be transported outside of their range.
Like, do they just...
They don't survive.
Prefer the humidity, or...
Yeah. It's the humidity. And often the ones that people claim are brown recluses are misidentified. There's this study that documented how various arachnids are routinely misidentified by not only like pest control people, but also physicians. Like, doctors are a huge issue with like spider scariness because spider bites are often misdiagnosed. Like MRSA.
Oh.
People are always like, oh, this is a spider bite. It was a brown recluse. It's necrotic damage. It's a spider bite. And then it's MRSA. Like,
interesting.
And also, there's this added layer of often the spider bite itself is not what causes tissue damage, but rather bacteria living on the spider. And then people just don't clean their wounds.
Ew. So
if you ever think you've been bit by a spider, wash the area before you let it just like
fester,
simmer.
Oh,
yeah.
People are, I don't.
A review published in 2016 showed that 78% of 134 published medical case studies of supposed spider bites do not meet the necessary criteria for a spider bite to be verified.
Wow. That's sobering. Yeah.
It is, yeah. It's so a lot of the time you'll see on social media, someone will be holding like their pet tarantula, and the comments are full of people like, my aunt lost her leg because a black widow bit her, or whatever nonsense, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm just here asking everyone to just take it with a grain of salt. If someone's like, well, I got bit by a spider and this is why you should be terrified, like, don't live in fear. Please. It's so much nicer not to. Unless you, so if you do think you've been bit by a spider and you're nervous, catch the spider. Mm. Even if you like smush it, bring the smush in to your medical professional, because then if it is medically significant, if you live somewhere like, for example, Australia with the Australian funnel web spider, they can determine like what anti-venom to give you, which notably, I thought people were still dying from the funnel web spider.
Mm-hmm.
No one has died since the 80s because they developed an anti-venom.
Cool.
Like,
so it's unlikely that a spider is going to kill you. Anybody.
Yeah. Over and over, the things I was researching, these stupid documentaries were like, the most dangerous. And then it would like zoom in on a black widow and like be like, wacha! Like there'd be like a lightning strike and the black widow would like move a leg and they'd be like, she senses where you are in a room. And I'm like, they're blind. Like,
she doesn't.
What are you doing?
She just does not.
She doesn't. I've held and cared for black widows, and they are the most like clumsy. If they fall from too far, they just pop. Like, I don't know. They're not scary, in my opinion.
Not scary. Yeah, that's fair.
Venom also is super important for medical advancement. There's been a lot of research about using venoms as medicine. For example, Gila monster venom has been implicated in a bunch of, like, diabetes long-term treatments.
Hmm.
My mom's actually on that medicine, and it's super interesting. Just from a Gila monster, venoms have been shown to find antibacterial, antimalarial, and drug delivery possibilities. There's been over 40 patents for just spider venoms.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
That's also, so the flies I study are also venomous, and I have recently come to the conclusion that I need to get smarter so I can understand venom, because it's so cool and it's so complicated.
And you can tap into the pharmaceutical possibilities and become a billionaire.
Well, and then they can pay me. I can get some of that sweet, sweet money to do taxonomy.
To do what you want to do.
Which is what I want. Yes. That's the secret, selling yourself.
Cure cancer first using rubber fly venom, and then you can do whatever you want to do.
It's so, venom is so, we did a lab on proteins, and I don't know. Like, I knew enzymes were proteins sometimes or whatever, but so many venoms are just like, these super complicated proteins that happen to, like, interact with bodies in different ways or biological systems in different ways.
Hmm.
And they, oh, man, it's so much. It's so complicated. It's so cool. It's like tiny little assassins. That's how I think of venom. It's just tiny assassins being, like, injected. And I love it. But yeah. A lot of spiders, when they use their venom, it's essentially to digest outside of the body.
Mm-hmm.
And then also to, like, hold their prey. Spiders can do dry bites, something like if they're scared. So often, even if you're bit by a black widow, they won't envenomate you because venom costs too much to produce, and so they don't want to.
That's fair.
Yeah. And then this is my crowning thing. The old adage, I've heard it before, I'm sure you've heard it before, that we're scared of spiders and snakes naturally because of, like, evolution.
Oh, yeah.
Seems to be untrue.
Oh.
A pretty recent study from 2019 showed that introducing those children to scary animals in the form of live animals and toys, with safe animals being hamsters and betta fish, and the scary animals being usually spiders or snakes, that the children interacted with the snakes and spiders almost twice as much than the safe ones.
Yeah.
There's this article, and I'll link it as well, where the researcher who did this noted that, this is a direct quote, it's funny, so much for being born afraid. The only evidence of fear I saw was in the parents, who sometimes would pull their children away from the snake and spider to look at the other objects in the room.
Ooh. I mean, yeah, that's, That's true. My niece has been raised, I think, without fear of like any animal, really. I mean, probably like the reasonable ones like cougars. But she loves snakes. She thinks bugs are cool. But I did notice that like after she would be like watching a lot of TV, there's a lot of children's TV that is like anti-bugs for whatever reason. There's an agenda, and she'd be like, ew, no, like, gross. And I'd go, no, they're just, it's just a little animal. Like, it's cool. We can touch it. And she'd go, oh.
Well, I was just going to say, I've interacted with your niece. She's perfect. Yeah. I love her.
Uh-huh.
It's like Good Luck Charlie, but it's just this podcast and we occasionally mention her. But she'd be apprehensive about new things.
Mm-hmm.
When I was like, you know, oh, look at this cool thing. And then once she got it, she would be like totally chill. And I just feel like we would do such a service to people if instead of like inundating them with fear as children, that we just like let them be happy and enjoy these animals that are freaking everywhere anyway.
Yeah. And yeah, I think it's really dangerous to instill a fear of like
nature.
Of nature. Kids should be going outside way more than most do. There are things that are dangerous about nature, but there's a difference between like respect and like healthy awareness and fear. Like, I think cities are way scarier. Cars, like, you can be afraid of cars.
Oh my gosh.
That's fine. They're way scarier.
Yeah. Or at least, like, have a healthy respect for stuff. That's fine.
Yeah.
You know, you can respect a spider. You don't have to want to, like, touch them. But I think...
Yeah, I don't want her to go chasing snakes. Like, that's not very nice to the snake.
Just, like, a little bit of compassion. It's 100% so we're currently in the midst of, it's called an insect apocalypse. Even in protected areas, insects have declined by like 75% within the last like 10 years. It's great. Like, it's getting pretty bad out here for the bugs and the spiders and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like we should just, if you're like super nervous about spiders or bugs, like try not to pass it on to the little ones in your life. There's probably not going to be as many anyway, but our obsession with having these sterile environments is just so bizarre to me.
Yeah. There are bigger fish to fry. Like the internet. Agreed. The internet's scary.
Fry the internet. Yeah. Be nervous about, like, let's make kids nervous about messages, like DMs from people you don't know.
Yeah. That's number one.
Yeah. Number one. And so if you're nervous and you feel like it's affecting your life, exposure therapy is totally an option. That's something that a lot of like therapists will provide. But also, I'm on some Facebook groups. There's this Facebook group called All Bugs Go to Kevin, where a lot of the group is people who are like, I was so scared of bugs and spiders that I just couldn't, like, I had problems in my day-to-day life. So I've joined this group and I'm trying to get an appreciation and it's working. And so, yeah, I don't know, just expose yourself to the positives
that
insects and spiders can bring into your life. I'm proselytizing for spiders today.
Yeah, that's fine. I think it's good when you take a stand, because I'm so terrified of taking one.
That's my job. Well, and these are stands I'll make in front of a class, too.
I'm
Googling spider jokes.
Yeah, I was going to say, do you have any more? What's your favorite fact about spiders?
Probably the herbivorous one. I think that one's really cool.
Yeah.
Some tarantulas have been documented to keep like small frogs within their burrows, or allowing the small frogs to live in their burrows as a kind of pest control.
Cool.
Because the spiders will only eat like larger sized things. And so the frogs eat little things.
Crowd control. That's awesome.
Yeah. What part of a computer does a spider use?
The network.
The webcam.
The webcam. Oh, right. It's only the net spiders that use nets.
Exactly. Exactly.
My gosh, bad. Becca. That's embarrassing. Oh, my gosh.
What do you call it when you have too many spiders in your house? This is a nice one, actually. It's not mean, which I appreciate.
What do you... What?
a no-fly zone.
That's cool. I never would have gotten there.
I think that's my favorite. I think that's one of the better spider jokes I've ever seen.
What did one spider say to the other spider when they were having dinner?
I'll wrap this up for later.
No, time's fun when you're having flies.
Time's fun when you're having flies. The way did you have this one like on lock, or did you just come up with it?
So it's an adaptation of a joke. The original joke is, what does one frog say to the other frog while they're having dinner? See. But I realized that spiders also eat flies. So
frog dinner. I would like to tell the listener that on video, before Becca told that joke, she had what can only be described as the million-yard stare.
Well,
as she recited it, it was like she was a third grader in a spelling bee competition. Like, each word you said was an island of stability as you jumped to the next.
I couldn't remember the whole joke, but I knew I had to just, like, start delivering it and it would come to me. You know, it's like, amazing. It's morning, it's finals, I've been sick for 2 weeks.
This podcast, we started recording at like 8:30 a.m. 8:20 is when I, at home, in pajamas, looked at my calendar and went, oh no.
And you got here about the same time I did, like 8:35. It was extremely impressive.
I put on deodorant, I put on perfume, like I am ready to take on the day. I've never gotten ready this fast in my life.
You want
to
hear something horrifying that's probably not going to stay on mic? So there was this massive leak in my apartment, and I had to use all of my towels, literally all of them, in order to soak up the water that was in the living room, and I have not had the time to go to the laundromat. So for the past 5 days, I've been using a camping microfiber towel to shower.
Okay, you can leave this in, because I'll tell you, that's what I did when we first moved. I couldn't find our towels. And then once I found them, they had been like wrapped up with like a bunch of like breakable stuff.
Oh,
and
yeah.
One of our cups shattered. And so we got here and I was like, well,
do I use
glass towel? Do I use glass, or do I use my Witto microfiber one that happened to be in the back of the car?
You use that one. Okay. No, you can keep it in. I'm just trying to give the listeners a sense of the state I've been living in for the past.
The depravity?
The depravity. I'm so tired.
Oh, amazing. Yeah, that's fair.
But I'm so happy. I'm so happy every time I see your face. It invigorates me.
Me too.
Oh, I do have a question regarding spiders. So you know the picture that's like, this is a spider making a web on meth. This is a spider making a web on cocaine. This is a spider making a web on weed. Is any of that real?
So it is real, but like, it's just art.
Oh, okay. It wasn't like a,
you know what I mean?
Study.
It's not, in my opinion, all it shows is like, look, different drugs affect spiders differently.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's it?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. That was on my mind since the beginning. I'm glad I didn't forget to ask it.
You've been thinking about just like high out of their mind spiders.
This is
I kind of feel bad for the spider that's like been drugged and is like, I gotta make my web, man.
And I just love the idea. This is your spider. This is your spider on meth.
This is your normal pet spider. What if it was the same spider? That'd be so mean.
Just every week he has to go through some new unknown substance abuse.
This is, that would be Eldritchian. That's something that I think about a lot, is our scale to spiders. We are an unknowable godlike entity to these tiny organisms.
Yeah. Oh, I do have a question. Who's your favorite movie spider? Or TV spider? Or book spider?
I mean, is it a cop-out to say Charlotte?
I was gonna say Charlotte. She's so
sweet. I also
sweet.
Really like, I like, what's his name? Aragog or whatever?
Aragog from Harry Potter. That's a solid, spider. Yeah. Is the spider in James and the Giant Peach like French or something?
Yeah, she's like a femme fatale, if I remember correctly.
But she is, but she's French, right? She has like a beret and stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm like, wait, spider.
My siblings never liked James and the Giant Peach very much growing up, but I watched a lot of James and the Giant Peach. I thought it was pretty cool.
We could have a whole episode on just spiders in media. It is crazy. It's like bears. They're everywhere.
They're everywhere.
Bears are weird, though, because bears physically are not everywhere. Spiders physically are all over the world.
I guess that's true. I'm trying to think of, like, recent spiders. Because obviously there's all the spiders that bit the Spider-Man.
I was going to say, there's all the spiders in Spider-Verse, but I really like the, 42, that spider that bit Miles Morales.
Yeah, that's a cute one.
I like the design of it. It's a cute spider. I don't know, spider. It's just a nice, like, little orb weaver.
nice little orb weaver.
Yeah. Here's a, you can train jumping spiders to follow laser toys like cats. The delight. I've never seen such happiness.
That was delight. That was not. Top 10 fictional spiders.
Amazing. Okay, number one, Charlotte's Web.
I cannot believe that the internet exists and this is what we've got. Number one is Shelob, the spider from Lord of the Rings, which, honestly, fair.
Oh, that's fair. I mean, it just attacks.
Yeah, you're right. It's not like that.
I want a spider I can have a conversation with.
Did you ever watch a show called Miss Spider's Sunny Patch Friends?
With the creepy white face spider?
Spiderous? Oh my gosh.
Yes,
okay.
I loved it. That
this
show.
Is the note I want to end on. Is this the reason you're an entomologist?
It honestly might be up there, because I did watch that show, like, religiously. She adopts a bunch of different species of spiders.
That's so cool! She's so cool.
Some spiders are parasocial, where they're, like, quasi-social. There are some tarantulas that will live communally, and then those herbivorous spiders also will live communally, and they'll guard, like, other females' hatchlings, which suggests that they're somewhat social.
That's adorable. Kamaji, the Spider-Man from Spirited Away. He's good. So cool.
I like him.
You need to watch the new Miyazaki movie. I watched it last night.
I do. Ooh, it's
like wild, Tegan.
Amazing.
There's a lot of little guys in it.
I love a little guy.
A lot of little guys.
If we were spiders in another universe, do you think we would be social ones? And do you think we would be friends?
Would we be social? I don't think so. I think I would be a solitary spider.
You're so mean to me and for why?
I am curious. If I were a spider, what kind of spider would I be? Like, you have to give me this because I don't know enough. Like,
I'm thinking.
Would I be the herbivorous spider?
You might be a trapdoor. No, I think you might be a trapdoor. If you want to be, like, if you're like, oh, I'm lonely, then you'd be a trapdoor.
I'm a lone wolf trapdoor spider.
They're cool. I almost studied them.
What if instead of being referred to as lone wolves, people started going, I'm a trapdoor spider?
I'm not like other spiders. I'm a wolf spider.
Yeah,
wolf
no,
spiders,
I'll take it.
They keep their babies on their backs, and then they will put their leg down into, like, a water source and let the babies go down one by one to get water.
That's awesome. I do also, why do Black Widows have that little marking on their back? Like, what's up with that? It seems so specific.
It's, so, within, like, the False Widow, like, a lot of widows, they're called Crebellet spiders because they have, their webbing is kind of messy because of the way their spinnerets look.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I mean by the fact I'm burdened by spider knowledge. And so it's just kind of, it's like, that's like asking, why do all robber flies have a mystax? Or why do these robber flies have a red stripe? It's just like a physical, like a marking that's kind of hung around.
Yeah.
Plus red means danger, right? So there's that idea that it's serving some kind of purpose as a signal.
I just get kind of, I know that as a biologist, you're going to be like, okay, Becca. But whenever I see markings like that, or like when certain fish have like these really intricate designs for seemingly no reason, I go like, that is what convinces me most that like maybe somebody made those because they thought it looked that maybe because it just looks cool.
It's good branding.
Yeah, exactly.
I think what it is a lot of our ideas of what looks cool comes from things that look cool in nature. You know what I mean?
Yeah, things that already exist. That's fair.
Like chicken or egg, right? Mm-hmm. Like, is black and red scary? And so black widows did that, or are we scared of black and red because many animals, such as the black widow, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, and inspiration comes from all kinds of places.
Have you seen the butterfly that just has the number 68 in its wings?
No, that's awesome.
Like, it's literally just...
I think if it had like the number 69, that would be actual proof of a god, and, like, you couldn't argue with it.
That would be it. That would be it for everyone. Mm-hmm. Take that, atheist. 69 butterfly.
Okay. Okay, yeah. Goodbye? What's going on?
Goodbye.
We gotta go.
Kiss a spider for me.
I will not be doing that.
Okay.
Are you gonna kiss a spider for me?
Maybe. I'll kiss my tarantula.
I just feel like with my luck, I'd accidentally inhale it, you know?
Oh my goodness.
I'd go in and I'd go, where'd the spider go?
You are spiders.
Spiders, Becca. Should not be counted. I should have asked, is spider bugs?
You could. Do you want to?
No.
Okay. You're so funny.